The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
One person has a uniform and a weapon, but there's another way to move the person you're dealing with to the right place, using the power of the words and the ideas and moving people towards compliance. These are extraordinarily foundational concepts for change.
Too many Americans feel deep unfairness when it comes to the gap between our professed ideals and how laws are applied on a day-to-day basis.
All right. The mayor, Bill de Blasio in New York, reacting to the murder of Eric Garner and no grand jury indictment for the officer who had him in a chokehold as he had sold illegal cigarettes on the street and then was arrested by the cops but never made it to his day in court because he died. Then you heard the Prez talking about how the laws were applied and are applied across the country. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, a slice and a point of view, a couple of points of view, on what's happening now as anger is building over the death of Eric Garner back in July and no charges against the police officer who choked the life out of him. Or did he? That's the conversation, the whole chokehold, the technique, and how the law was applied. Protests are erupting around the nation, and this isn't just black folks, this is white folks walking arm in arm in Brooklyn. I just got a text from a buddy who said, you should see it in Brooklyn. In a way, Kate, you would be proud because there's blacks, whites, Hispanics. It don't matter what color. A lot of people are saying enough is enough. They closed part of the Brooklyn Bridge today. The rallies are growing. And the Department of Justice is vowing a full investigation into Eric Garner's death. In the meantime, Al Sharpton is planning and pushing for a national march on Washington next weekend to protest the lack of indictments against the cops in New York City and Ferguson, Missouri, who he says the actions led to the deaths of black civilians. As Sharpton was talking today from his headquarters, and he vowed to put pressure on the feds to take action in both cases. I think that the two cases, there are some similarities people could point to. You know, what about this whole body cam thing and all that kind of stuff? But there are also a few differences, major differences here. The thing to me is the use of the choke hold and what the policeman did in that case and the fact that Eric Garner was selling illegal cigarettes. Now, he did resist arrest, and absolutely you can say, and I would say, and I have said here in these airwaves, just don't resist. Just don't resist. It was a little bitty fine that he would have gotten. Whether you think it's ridiculous or not, just don't resist, man. Just don't resist. If it happened to me, I don't resist, especially now when we see the things that are happening. But I know that somebody could come back on me and say, well, you're a white woman, so that wouldn't happen. I don't think that this right here, this specific thing, we're not talking about, to me, we're not talking about race. We're talking about a choking death. We're talking about an investigation into this New York City police officer and his role in the death of Eric Garner. That's what we're talking about. In fact, the police department itself, you know, he's manning a desk right now because they're investigating what happened at the scene and what he did, and did he use too much force. The officer, Daniel Pantaleo could face disciplinary action from an internal investigation. They're saying that the process will probably move quickly. It wouldn't be shocking if that's what they decided to do. And the focus is on, was it a chokehold? Which is absolutely, I triple checked on this. There is no doubt. I think you all know it by now. It is banned by the New York City Police Department because there have been a bunch of deaths, frankly, as a result of that. So it was banned. How much did that contribute to the death of the 43-year-old? So we've got these protests around the country. We have demonstrators saying that law enforcement and the criminal justice system are stacked against African Americans and other minorities. I get where they're going with that in Missouri, but I can't hang on to that in New York because I think it's really more about the law. It's more about is that overreach? Yes. Was the chokehold wrong? Of course. Was it excessive use of force? And that's also what the Justice Department is looking at. So that's my question to you. The New York mayor, Bill de Blasio, who jumped into office in January, says he's going to improve the relations, by the way, regardless, no matter what, between minority New Yorkers and the cops. He's saying the relationship between the police and the community has to change. People need to know that black lives, brown lives matter as much as white lives. Stuart London is the guy who is Pantaleo's lawyer, and he said that Pantaleo testified to the grand jury that he never put pressure on Garner's neck. Instead, he says he used a proper takedown technique. The president of the patrolman's union, now that's a person who's supposed to protect the patrolman, his name is Patrick Lynch, he said Pantaleo is a model officer. And that he used the technique that he was taught in the academy. So now this internal police review, I'm sure, is going to conclude pretty quickly. The lawyer thinks that he's going to be exonerated. The city medical examiner for New York City, who's not playing politics, he's just doing his gig, right? He says that the police officers killed Garner by compressing his neck and chest. And he said, look, his asthma and his obesity, he's a giant guy, contributed to his death. Chokeholds are absolutely banned. There is a 2,000-page patrol guide that is sitting on my telephone right now, but it is it's not very specific, it doesn't look like to me, whether the use of that force can be allowed in certain circumstances. That's not how it reads. And maybe the grand jury thought it was a gray area. I want to know what the grand jury was thinking in Staten Island. What were they thinking? And you can see the video. This is radio, but you can see the video. Just type it in and it'll pop up. It's everywhere. He did say, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Now, that big question is the question that hangs over. Is this too much force by the police? Was the chokehold a chokehold or a takedown measure? And what do you think the outcome ultimately should be in this case? Hold your thoughts. Coming back in our third segment, we're going to talk about it. But next, a conversation with Dr. Hogeberg on Obamacare. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
As we get ready to wrap up this year and send it into next year, there's so much conversation about healthcare from a lot of different perspectives, whether we're talking about people who are stuck in a system that's not working for them, or we're talking about doctors on the other side. Dr. David Hochberg has been on the show many, many times, the senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research, has a new national policy analyst paper called To Bring Doctors Back to Medicare, Fix the Doc Fix. Very intriguing stuff, because every couple of years, we know this, Medicare threatens to cut what it pays doctors, and then we hear about doctors are saying, fine, I'm getting out of this business. It's mathematically impossible. So, Dr. Hochberg, first of all, thanks for coming on. And what should we be concerned about here when we talk about, here we go again with the Medicare ball?
Well, I think the main thing to be concerned about is that, you know, if you're a senior, your doctor may eventually get kind of fed up with this thing and decide to either stop taking Medicare patients altogether or perhaps stop taking new Medicare patients. That is, that's kind of one of the, been one of the unintended consequences of these threatened Medicare cuts.
Yeah, and of course, when your entire life, that's the beauty of the doctor knowing you, your entire life or however long you've gone to the same person, it's awful when finally you get to the point where, okay, now I've aged, now I was relatively healthy and I'm having a few little things happen, you got to suddenly go and find somebody else. And that gets pretty confusing, doesn't it, for a lot of people?
Oh, of course. I mean, you have a doctor that, you know, you've known for, you know, 10 or 20 years and you know, you'd like to keep him or her in your Medicare years and you may not be able to because of this formula in Medicare known as the 1997. And basically the way it works is that each year there's a threshold that that is a number amount that Medicare's physician fees are not supposed to surpass. And if they do, then automatic across-the-board cuts in physician fees are supposed to be triggered for the next year. Well, this happened once in 2001. The subsequent year, there was a cut in physician fees. And physician groups protested, and they were smart about it. Then instead of saying, physicians deserve to be paid well, which, as far as I'm concerned, they do, but they said, well, if you keep these cuts going, we're going to have to stop treating, it'll be harder and harder for us to treat seniors. Of course, seniors vote at very high rates, and the last thing members of Congress want is, lots of angry seniors showing up at the voting booth to register their displeasure and being able to, keep or even find a doctor. And so what Congress has done about every year or two since then is suspend these cuts for a year or two, and then they'll replace it with maybe a 1-2% increase. That process is known as a doc fix, but it's had this unintended effect or consequence of doctors, get very nervous as the cuts, temporary suspension each time, gets very close to running out. And as a result, doctors have it's one of the reasons more and more doctors seem to be restricting the number of Medicare patients that they see. The American Medical Association did a survey in 2010 that found that about 3/4 of the doctors who no longer see new Medicare patients was because of the uncertainty created by these this doc fix process.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and you say this in your analysis. You talk about, think about baby boomers. 2030, the number of Medicare patients increasing by 50% above the current levels. Now more than ever, can we really afford to have physicians that aren't taking Medicare patients?
No, we really can't, and we need, not only that, we need more people to become physicians, and I think one of the things that tends to happen as government moves more and more into healthcare is that doctors seem to flee the system. I mean, we've already seen numerous polls of doctors saying they're going to speed up their retirement because of the passage of Obamacare. And, I think Medicare has for years been kind of the so slow creep of more and more government involvement in the doctor's office, in part due to Medicare. And I think, Medicare has been something that has been, driving doctors away from medicine. And I think Obamacare is just going to speed that up.
Yeah. And as you say, you talk about less doctors, less people coming into the profession because they see what's happening. And boy, with people needing doctors more than ever, that could be catastrophic. Who knows where the numbers end up. And of course, it depends on place to place. And I would think in rural areas, this would hit them pretty hard.
I suspect the rural areas will be hit the hardest because rural doctors tend to earn the least amount of pay, and so they're the ones that can least afford a government system that requires them to do more and more paperwork, costly paperwork, for which they're always seldom, if ever, really reimbursed. I suspect it will hit the rural doctors the hardest, but it's going to hit doctors hard all over the place. And look, people don't go into medicine to fill out loads of paperwork, constantly fill out these forms to get reimbursed and do all this coding and all this other stuff. They go into it to try to take care of patients, and the amount of time they get to spend with patients these days is being eroded by this constant creep of paperwork that is in part due to things like Medicare and Medicaid, but increasingly has also been due to private insurance as well.
Yeah, and your paper, as I said, it was called To Bring Doctors Back to Medicare, Fix the Doc Fix, and End the Threat of Physician Cuts. And as long as we continue to have the dark clouds hovering around Medicare, we're not fixing that, right, Doc? And that's not even part of the conversation for some reason.
No, I mean, look, it's time to just get rid of this sustainable growth rate and then this doc fix process once and for all. And just, at least for the time being, just replace it with, you know, an automatic 1-2% increase in doctors' fees under Medicare each year until we can, you know, reform Medicare so that it's a payment system that actually basically reform it in such a way that the patient has more control over the funds and doctors are paid, you know, directly by the patient. So you get rid of the paperwork, you'll start getting, you know, actual doctors charging, you know, prices directly and all the things that, you know, good things that come with a true market-based system.
Have you had a lot of friends who are doctors who have bailed on the profession, have decided, yeah, this is the time for me to jump out of this?
Oh, I've certainly known a few in my research. I knew one who had, was an OB or a gynecologist actually who left the profession a couple of years ago and you know was very well-liked doctor and I've known a few others, but a lot of the doctors I've worked with are kind of so far in the middle of their careers, so a lot of them are just for the time being toughing it out. I'll say this, the happiest doctors I've known are the ones who no longer take Medicare or Medicaid or private insurance and have gone totally to a cash practice and seem the most content.
Wow, and see that cash practice has started because the patients not being able to afford, et cetera, and then cutting deals, right? I know a lot of people that have had their doctors do the same thing with them, and thank goodness because it worked out on both sides. So it's kind of good for the consumer too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, especially I think for the small stuff, really most of that the stuff that primary care physicians do, you know, most of that should probably be paid, you know, directly out of pocket. I think it's good for the doctors, it's good for the patients, it's more convenient for the patient. The doctor, you know, gets rid of all the headache of dealing with paperwork and so forth and all of the, bureaucratic rules that come along with insurance and Medicare and so forth. So, I'm hoping that will eventually be the wave of the future. And we'll have to see.
All right, Dr. Hoberg, senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research. Thanks so much for coming on the show again.
Well, thanks for having me.
Bye bye.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNlive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNlive.com. GCN.
In 1965, this was the South. Put this one down. One more time. Fantasy. And a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
What a holiday season it's turned out not to be in this country. Lots of people feeling very, very heavy about things that are happening both in New York and what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. If you want to throw in your two cents, you can. 855-266-5283. Here's Al Sharpton on the upcoming march to protest what's happened in Missouri and now what's happened in New York, or a lack of what's happened as far as indictments are concerned.
Next Saturday, the 13th, we will be in Washington and we'll be demanding redress on these cases.
Okay, so I think there's some differences in the two cases. You know, to me, the issue is the whole chokehold thing and how much is too far with the police. And on the other hand, resisting arrest. There is absolutely some gray area here, but there's not a gray area in the chokehold, in choking the life out of somebody, which I'll tell you what, clearly that's what the medical examiner is saying. He's saying this is how Eric Garner died. And there was video. There was video that was taken by his friend. His friend certainly wasn't expecting him to die. And he was saying, I can't breathe. Was that chokehold necessary? And what about the grand jury? Finally, the grand jury, some of that information is going to come out. It's supposed to come out maybe later on Friday, because I want to see what they saw. We know these bits and pieces, but I want to see what led to the decision. Nathan Reeder and I were talking during the break, and he has some hardcore opinions on this as well. Nathan, from your point of view, what do you think is really at issue here with the Eric Garner case, the guy who was selling individual cigarettes on the street and then his encounter with the police and ultimately his death?
Well, primarily it has to do with the idea of whether the chokehold was really choking. Or one of the other engineers here brought it up. Do you know what the difference between choking and strangling is?
Well, one leads to death. They cut off your air.
One's air and one is blood.
Yeah.
Blood pathways. He's talking over there. It seems that he was really strangled more than choked, and it really kind of irked me to hear Jack say that, you know, he wasn't being choked if he was getting words out, because not only is, you know, how not only is that a damning conclusion like a witch trial might be, because you know, if they're doing it right, then he doesn't say anything and dies anyway. I don't understand.
I see what you're saying. He's saying, well, you know, because he was saying, I can't breathe. He was. You can hear that on the videotape. He's saying, I can't breathe. And what Jack, when he called in, was concluding is that, well, anyone's yelling out, I can't breathe, I can't, whatever. I mean, the one thing that's brutal here is if he just didn't resist arrest and he was slapped the little ridiculous fine, gosh, this guy wouldn't be dead. Death is final. That's it. He's got a widow and kids, and it's depressing. It's depressing. Over, as Jack did say, a $50 fine, because that's what it would have been.
Yep.
And I have looked at this from all different angles, and I've tried to get something on the grand jury, and that's going to be released because there was the pressure with the freedom of information and everything else that's being thrown in the direction, but they're going to release some of it. So I want to hear what they heard that led to, okay, there's nothing here. And there is a lot of tension between the New York City mayor and some of the city's police, because, you know, the police union is saying that he didn't do anything in this Eric Garner killing. And the mayor feels like, you know, they feel like the mayor is throwing the police department under the bus. That's what the president of the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association is saying. He's saying, look, last night the protesters, we might not agree with their message, but we were protecting their right to do it. That's what they should be saying. And then the mayor pushes back and thanks protesters for an overwhelmingly peaceful protest. And there was 83 arrests, and he praised the police and blah, blah, blah. You know,
they're both coming from different places.
Absolutely.
Know, they both have to stand up for all of those things they stood up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They have to do that. I mean, to me, it is about how did he die fundamentally. What happened there? And on the videotape that his friend took, like any of us can flip open our phones, and actually we don't even have to flip them open. We just, you know, hold them up, and it's clearly right there. I mean, it's being taped right there. You can hear, you definitely can hear him saying, I can't breathe, and then he can't breathe. And we can't go back in a time capsule and say, ugh, just say, you know, fine, arrest me. And then they would have let him go or whatever. But let's just stick with the facts. And the facts are that, okay, we're going to arrest him, and then he's in this hold, and he can't breathe, and he dies. I mean, clearly, this is what the medical examiner is saying. The medical examiner doesn't come at it from politics, doesn't come at it from the police point of view, or from the guy's family's point of view, or from the black community, or from the white community, or from any community at all. Just simply from the facts of how they examine a body and what they see, and that is what the medical examiner of New York City said in looking at the body. And I'll tell you, the officer says, listen, I don't care about the information that's released because it's the truth. He wants everybody to hear what the grand jury heard, and I want to hear what the grand jury heard, too, because I want to know how they came to the conclusions that they came to. So there's going to be a limited amount of information about the investigation that will come out. You know, the fact that the jurors sat for 9 weeks, heard from 50 witnesses, 22 were civilians, the rest were officers, emergency personnel, doctors. They had 60 different exhibits. They had 4 videos. And they had a lot of the information that was already really pretty much reported in the media was what they also heard, too, as well. So what are they going to do with training in the future will be very interesting. And the bottom line here is, you know, to avoid these tragedies. I mean, avoid these the tragedies in the future as much as possible. It's, you know, somebody else said to me, couldn't they have tasered him? I mean, for goodness sake, all the tasering they do, couldn't they have tasered him? Couldn't they have used pepper spray if it was that bad? But he wasn't being attacking. He was resisting them when they were trying to arrest him. So I guess there's usually with the tasering, it's you're just completely coming after somebody. And I think when they held him down, I don't believe that was the intent, but that's the results of what happened. And you may see it a different way. You can certainly send me an email, americatonight.net, or 855-266-5283. I mean, it certainly is interesting what's happening, interesting in a sad way what's happening in this country, other than that maybe this is used for training in the future, but I mean, when somebody's life is at stake and somebody's gone, you know, the price of a human life and somebody who's got a family and everything else, you know. So these protests are now happening on the street. It's all part of social media. The Justice Department is going to investigate. And you know, I was even looking at something that was written, because I looked at all sides of this. Let's face it, there's right material out there, there's left material out there, and then there's central material, I call it. And I have my own opinions. We have a talk show here. That's what we do. That's why I say all opinions are welcome. Left of left, right of right, or you're in between, or you're a no-label person. You want to slap a label on yourself. But Judge Napolitano talked about the Garner case, and he said the grand jury made a profound error. He said the error they made was by deciding not to indict the police officer in the death. He says, I think the grand jury made this big mistake. I think you had a prosecutor who decided he didn't want to indict, and in order not to indict, he presented not only the government's case, but the defendant's case. He says he believes the prosecutor punted the case to the grand jury, saying that the prosecutor turned them into kind of a petty jury which evaluated all the evidence in the case, and that's not the function of the grand jury, and the prosecutor dumped it away by doing that, by not dealing with it. So he made the mistake on it, and that it was a big mistake in the end by deciding not to indict the police officer. I mean, he's the senior judicial analyst, and trust me, if there's a side that normally he comes down on, you could say that the judge would come down mostly on the right side of the world, right? And if this is a right and a left issue, which I think it's just, it is really strictly to me about the chokehold, I don't think there are similarities to the Michael Brown case, but I know there are people that disagree because they want to see that from what they saw in Ferguson, but I really don't think that it has anything to do with it. I think it is strictly about the cops. Was this approach ridiculous? Did a guy who was selling individual cigarettes on the street illegally, was this the punishment to fit the crime of that? Stay with us.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts, fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
Do you have relatives and friends that are convinced there is no need ever to prepare for any kind of emergency? Are these also folks you buy Christmas presents for? At 30dayfoodsupply.com, we can solve both of these problems at the same time. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010. We can ship your Christmas presents directly to them. Choose from our original $99 30-day food supply, our long-term storage vegan burger mixes, and other oatmeal, soups, porridges, beans, and granolas for everyday use. All products are non-GMO, MSG-free, and vegetarian. Most are gluten, soy, and nut-free. Call 541-229-0010 today. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low, cutting out the middleman by buying directly from their producers in Oregon. Remember, only $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Visit the website 30dayfoodsupply.com. Call 541-229-0010. 30dayfoodsupply.com, 541-229-0010.
Yes, family and friends are gathering to give gifts and wish health and security. But why not enhance cell phone and wireless device security all year with Block It Pocket? A family-owned American business, we now have two spectacular holiday specials. Find them now at our new website, blockitpocket.com, or call 888-315-9618. Hurry, holiday special ends Christmas Day. Give the gift of security from blockitpocket.com, wishing you health, freedom, and liberty.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I hate math.
I've always tried to be a good mother, but when it came to Jamie's math, I was at a loss. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. Concepts are simplified in an easy way to follow and review, and students can learn at their own pace in the convenience of home. Listen, in the frustration, call Math Made Easy. Call now, 1-800-USA-MATH. That's 1-800-872-6284. Or visit us at mathmadeeasy.com.
Man, only thinks about the. You got a real big heart, but I'm looking at you. You got real big brains, but I'm looking at you. Girl, it ain't no pain in me looking at you.
I don't give a keep looking at me, 'cause it don't mean a thing if you're looking at me. I'ma do my thing while you're playing with you.
Every boy's the same since up in the seventh grade. They've been trying to get at me, trying to.
Wow, time flies. Another roundabout, and we're done with this hour of America Tonight. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of ATN, as I know you're busy and getting ready for the holidays and all that other sort of stuff. So the conversation really turns toward the chokehold in New York and the police and the response and everything in between. You know, the bottom line is, boy, don't, I'll tell you what right now, don't resist arrest. Don't do it. Don't do it so that we're not having these conversations on the air that it's very depressing. A guy selling the cigarettes who is poor as all get out. Illegally, he's selling the cigarettes. So, okay, they got calls, they got complaints, and people wanted the police to do something. So that's why they came down there. That's why they responded. They respond not thinking that they're going to kill this guy, but it happens, and it happens because of a takedown and the fact that he can't breathe and has asthma. Then the grand jury doesn't indict on anything, no charges of anything, because the prosecutor bounces it over to them and dumps it on them. And lo and behold, now you've got protests because it was 9 days after the Ferguson deal, which I think there aren't as many similarities between these two as Al Sharpton would like to stir the pot and make the two very similar. I don't think in any way this is a black-white thing, racist thing, white cop, because there was black cops there, and there are plenty of black officers on the New York City Police Department. You know, when they look at Ferguson, Missouri, and they want to say, well, look at the ratio of white police officers, and those numbers do show that. And you have a different kind of argument if you want to go in that direction than you do here. I do not think for a second it is anything to do with racism. I don't. But it does have to do with the cop and a takedown and what should have happened, what didn't happen, and what it looks like, frankly, on tape. What it absolutely looks like on tape, what the medical examiner, who is not political in this instance, has really nowhere to go with this other than just the facts, ma'am, and here they are when I examine the body. You know, you have to, I think, put some credence into what he's saying. And some of the, because people always try to turn this into a team issue. You're either on the right side or you're on the left side. You're either with the elephants or you're with the donkeys. Everybody wants to label, label, label. And I think in this case, it's not about labeling. It's about what is right and what is wrong. And what should the response be? Did the system fail here with this takedown of a guy selling individual cigarettes illegally on the street? And the background is what I said. The people in Staten Island, he was in a heavily merchant area, they were complaining. They made the phone calls to the cops a couple of different times, and they, you know, there's a lot of police on patrol all over New York. Trust me, I've crawled through all five boroughs. That's why I think it's funny when people say they don't feel safe in New York. I think, are you kidding? I've never seen so many police in my life. And they're very quick to respond. So when they get the call, they go, they respond to the call, and then this ultimately is what happens. And the question becomes, he was motionless for 6 minutes, and it looks like a chokehold to me. And he's saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And remember, from my point of view, in talking to police officers my entire life and having two police officers in my family and knowing the things that happen that aren't right that happen to them and knowing the things that they have to do when they encounter certain situations, boy, you just have to look at this video a few different times and you really, really see this. Was excessive force used here? And, you know, the unfortunate part of this is lumping everything together makes it worse within that 9-day period. 855-266-5283. That's the number if you want to call and let your thoughts be heard here on America Tonight. There were a bunch of people that sent emails in about this, including Jake. I'm just going to go to one email, and Jake says, Kate, normally you know I'd be all over this whole thing and say, oh, this is so ridiculous, and, you know, talking about him, that the fact that, yeah, he's selling cigarettes illegally, yeah, somebody makes the call, yeah, they respond, but it was bad news looking at that tape, and the medical examiner saying clearly you could see how he died. I mean, the facts are the facts. And so as much as I hate to go against the boys in blue, because I do, because I think sometimes unfairly the cops get pounded, but I'm going to say that this was excessive force, and I think the police department should do something with the officer, at least in a disciplinary sense. All right, let's go to Grim. His nickname is Grim for a reason. Hey, Grim, how are you?
Oh, well, it's actually oxymoron, you know.
I like that.
That's what I use it for, but you'll find that out. So, but isn't it odd how you were talking about...
Whoa, listen to those dogs.
I got my dogs going off. They don't like
you on the phone. They don't like you on the phone. That's like my mahalo. People, I think, know that I've got a golden retriever, and the golden retriever always reacts when there's any technology near me.
Chill.
Chill, you dogs. Chill.
Yeah, but anyhow, it's just odd how you were talking during the Missouri, the Ferguson part, and you were talking about how the New York cops have their procedures and everything,
mm-hmm.
and now this incident in New York, I mean, really, the answer to both cases, it doesn't take a knothead, which I'm one, but it doesn't take one to figure it out, is they broke the crime, and they broke the law to start with, both of them.
Right. They did break the law. I mean, they did break the law. But you know what? But then you do have to think, I mean, selling cigarettes on the street, you know, I've been getting pounded for that. If you or I were selling cigarettes, naughty, naughty, bad, bad, Kate and Grim, oh my gosh, if you're my partner and they take you down like that, I'm horrified. I'm shooting it. I am going to shoot it on my cell phone because I'm thinking, you know, but here's the problem. There is a problem in this. The cops, then if the cops, okay, the cops got a lot of calls on this guy, Eric Garner, selling these cigarettes, right? They get a bunch of calls, so they respond. All of that is recorded. They go and they respond, and they couldn't say to him. They had to figure out a way to take him in. Right, serve and protect. They couldn't say, if I'm the cop, I can't say, geez, dude, you know, you're selling cigarettes. Can you just scatter? Can you get out of here? Because they see it, and they've got the people there recorded, so then they would be written up.
Their job's on the line. Right?
Yeah, their job's on the line. Absolutely. I know this is the procedure because I have family who are cops. It's not just you can take, oh, well, Kate's being nice and she's throwing the book out because then I'm getting written up and I have a demerit and am in trouble and they're going to say, well, why did you do that? So your response when you went to the scene was, oh, that's not that bad of a crime. We'll see you around, buddy. You know, go get yourself a chocolate bar and put those cigarettes away. No, they had to, whether it's stupid or not, and in some ways it sounds so stupid, but they had to give him a citation, take him in, whatever, and he did resist arrest. But then it becomes, here he goes, he resists arrest. So now we have him in a chokehold. I mean, wasn't there something better to do there? Wasn't there some kind of language or something that they could have used? I'll tell you this. Thanks, Grim. We're up against it. I'm sorry. And just when he gets his dogs quiet, my brother-in-law, who's a cop, tries that. He tries to logically discuss something with someone, of course. You know, everybody holds their breath that something could happen, and then he's looking around for weapons. It depends on the situation. But wasn't there some other thing? I mean, you look at the medical examiner's report, and it does clearly say that. You know? You be the judge, America. It's a tough situation, no doubt. And I think that tension, because all this is building up and the pot is stirring, that's for sure, here in these United States. Thanks for listening.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution.
With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.